I'm not going to try to finish it up, but I'm going to interject some things here. I appreciate what Brother Philip has said, and I've enjoyed working with him, trying to consolidate our thoughts. This is a burden both of us have. And talking about channeling this effort and all, I have to refer to a favorite scripture of mine. I've used it many, many times. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." When we were expecting our first child, I let it be known that I wanted a boy. I wanted a boy really bad. And I was adamant about it enough that my wife and my mother-in-law especially tried to prepare me if it wasn't a boy. They told me that I might not get what I really wanted. Well, the Lord blessed us with a son, and then He blessed us with three more sons. And I'm very thankful for the boys. I'm very thankful for the experiences that we have had. We've had some real experiences, as Brother Philip has already kind of touched on. I'd like to kind of direct my thoughts specifically towards boys and fathers raising boys. Good work ethics is something that is so much in demand today. It's in such a demand that there are those from other countries that come here and can capitalize on employment where those that have lived here all their life, many generations, can't hardly see the opportunities. And someone comes from another country and they capitalize on that. So work ethics is something that really needs to be taught. It needs to be ingrained. Making an honest living, I believe, is a biblical principle. It's not just an optional thing. It's honorable to work with our hands. It's honorable to have worthwhile employment. There's really no room in a walk with the Lord for slackers. If you want to be successful in your spiritual life, if you want to be successful in the workforce, there's no room for goofing off. It's just not there. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I remember as a child, and I've expressed this to Brother Philip and others, but I remember as a child the things that my dad and my mother, we did not grow up affluent by any means, and I just remember the things that I had access to that really shaped who I am today. As a real small child, I remember getting my feelings hurt at my parents because I had an older uncle. He's about 10 years older than me. That had an erector set that he had outgrown. You know what that is, the little metal pieces with the holes in it and all the little nuts and bolts. And I really got my feelings hurt at my parents because when he got tired of it, they didn't bring it to me. I wanted that. But I was small enough, they was afraid either me or my little brother might swallow the bolts and the nuts. So I was pretty young. Anyway, I can remember some of the toys they brought. We kind of liquidated some of the things that were left over at my mother's house last year and had a plastic car-looking thing with wood on it and all, but it had the trunk lid had some tools on it, and you could take the wheels off of it and we'd take it all apart and put it back together and try to rearrange it. And we did those things. They found something that engaged our minds and our hands. It's an important thing. Whatever your hand finds to do, and it's not just busyness, although that's part of it. I remember as we got older, my dad had an inventory of used lumber. And there was a pile of used lumber in his storage building that was ours. And we had a box of nails that he had picked up either for free or for almost nothing from the lumber yard that had had paint spilled in them. So they weren't real convenient for somebody trying to really build something to use. But we had that box of nails, and we had a stack of used lumber, and we had a handsaw and a hammer and probably a tape measure, and that was ours. If we wanted to cut it up in little bitty pieces and nail it back together, whatever we wanted to build. And there was a tree in the backyard, kind of back where the neighbors couldn't see it, and we could nail all the nails in that tree we wanted to. We had steps on the side, and we had a little platform. I'm going to tell you, you know, there's a lot of danger involved in raising children. One of those dangers is that they are a heartache to us. And then there's the danger of them hurting themselves while we're raising them. And somehow, we've got to find a balance in all of that. But I look, there's things that we did that is possible that we could have really hurt ourselves. We could have fell out of our tree fort that we built. But we knew that there were certain things that was unallowed. But there were things that was accessible to us. And we would be perspiring and trying to figure out how to do. We were engaging our minds and our hands. But we were given. We lived in town. I didn't live out where we could have a donkey or anything like that. But we lived in on a small lot there, not super small, but we had a place that we could engage our minds and our hands. It's a very important point. I believe that boys that would be good candidates for things like Ritalin and other drugs that's out there can be channeled or directed into something that eventually could be productive. I remember my uncle coming over, that same uncle, and telling me that I couldn't saw a 2x4 and 2 with my handsaw without stopping and taking a break. All right, so I was a pretty small boy. And there was something about me, and I believe it's in all young boys, that was going to prove to him that I could. So I set out and I did it. Without stopping, I sawed until I cut that 2x4 and 2. Now, what I'm trying to do is paint something you can get a hold of how important it is to put this challenge there. What else would I have been doing? You know, I grew up in the age when I got to be about pre-teen age that all of these little electronic games started coming out where you could play football and basketball and all that. And I never had one of those. And I really don't. I've never had my feelings hurt at my parents because I didn't have. But I did get my feelings hurt at my parents because they didn't get me that Erector set that I wanted. There's some kinds of wholesome activities that maybe the fathers just don't have the facility or the abilities to help their children get involved in. It might be something like hunting, but there could be someone that you could allow them to be associated with that it would be safe. And there are times that you may want to encourage or direct your child down that direction, even if you can't do that. But I just want to put this out there. Just keep this as food for thought. Remember that whoever they're with is going to have more influence on them than just that activity. You want them to be a good example in other things as well. Don't send them with your next door neighbor that uses alcohol and tobacco to learn how to hunt. All right? Because they're liable to take up dipping. All right? Just keep that in mind. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, 11th and 12th verse, it says that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. To do our own, what is our business as fathers? I believe that one of our businesses as a father is to teach our children. A couple of the principles that I feel like it's imperative that we teach our children, our sons particularly, is adaptability, the ability to overcome the things with what you've got on hands. I like to have the right tool for the job. But there are many times that you're presented with something and it's like, rather than give up, let's adapt and overcome. All right? The other thing is tenacity and perseverance. I don't know which word to use there, but the unwillingness to cave and to give in. The unwillingness to say, well, I guess it's just not in me. Or I'll let somebody... I wonder where Jacob got the phrase, I will not let thee go. You reckon he might have got that from his father? I won't let you go until you bless me. It's important that we teach that to our... How do we do that? They got to have that fertile ground that was being talked about. We've got to have that in place. If they see Dad giving up, well, call the plumber. Call the whatever. That's out of my league. We're giving up. I don't know. I don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed. I feel strong about this. How do you teach your children to have that tenacity, that perseverance, and that adaptability? It's the example. What do you tackle? Just the things you feel comfortable with? Or do you reach out there? Somebody else did this. We can figure out how to do it too. All right? Your business is to incorporate your sons into everything possible that you do. Everything. I remember going with my father as a very small child. He was driving the combine, thrashing soybeans, or wheat particularly. That's where he turned me loose first. I was small enough that, you know, reaching that first step and pulling up and getting your knee on it, it was just almost too high. And we get up in the combine, and we would no air conditioning, none of that back then. But anyway, we would ride around and make a few laps, and directly Dad say, "You want to drive?" Now, what boy would say no? That's what I was waiting on. You want to drive? I'm going to get out and kind of see how things are going. That's what he would say. So cutting wheat's like kind of like cutting grass out here. You know, if you don't cut it just square, it's all right. You get it next time around. So he would get out and he would kind of walk around the combine, and I'd be driving. And I'm going to tell you that it didn't get any better than that. But he took me with him. And when my boys come along, there was times that it wasn't convenient to take them with you. You know, when you got to worry about taking care of cleaning them up and stuff like that before they're really able to take care of some of the necessary things of life, it's not necessarily the most convenient time to take them with you, but take them with you. Take them with you. You know, one of the most annoying jobs that a man can have is have a family get-together and your wife stop up the garbage disposal with potato peelings. I know you've all done it. Honey, can you come unclog the drain? The disposal is clogged up. Well, you get in there and you probably don't have everything you need, and you probably got nice clothes on, and you're scrounging around for a waste basket and maybe a towel instead of a wrench to take the pipe loose, and you're digging it out, and they're right there with you, trying to stick their head in between your arm and your stomach, and there underneath the sink is where you put everything that you don't think you'll ever use. And you start unloading it, and there's two bushels of stuff underneath the sink, and you wonder, how is it all going to fit back in there? But you get it out, and you finally get this thing dismantled, get it cleaned out, and this little guy has been right there with you and watching you. And maybe there's a time that you can't get your finger in that little hole, and you tell him, you put your finger in there and pull it out. You see, I'm telling you, it's your business is to take them with you. Get them involved in that. And, you know, cutting grass is kind of like a haircut. It'll grow back. And if you have teenage sons, this is a pretty strong statement, so bear with me. If you have a teenage son and you're cutting the grass, I think there's something wrong with that picture. Notice how I said that. I think there's something wrong with that picture. The Bible don't say that, but just think about it. Boys need to be allowed to help before they're helped. Let me say that again. Boys need to be allowed to help before they're helped. All right? It's part of training. I remember going and mowing the churchyard. There's a compound principle there. You mow the church. We mowed the churchyard for free. But I remember going mowing the churchyard. And we had about an acre of land around the chapel. And we had a riding lawnmower. And Dad would let me ride the riding lawnmower because he thought the push mower, I was too small to push the push mower. I was really too small. But he put me on the riding lawnmower. And he said, don't stop for the corners. You just turn and keep going, and I'll cut those little pieces out. And I remember that I felt like I needed to make nice square corners, and Dad coming, and I thought I was going to get a spanking because I wasn't just moving. He was in a hurry, and he said, just keep that thing moving. I'm going to tell you, I learned some things. The objective, it was mentioned here the other morning, is that we would work or teach or train ourselves out of a job. So when you get to the point that they know how to do all the preliminary things before you start mowing the grass, and then they learn, you can sit back and just watch it happen. And unfortunately, I'm getting to the age that sooner or later, all of my sons are going to be gone and I'm going to have to cut the grass again. But I've really enjoyed them taking care of the grass. It's a principle that we have to teach them. And you know, when they get done, and you can look out there and say, boys, the yard looks really nice. You know what happens to them? You can kind of see them go like that. It's good. We're training them. We're teaching them. It's a principle. If we drop the ball here, we're going to grow up, and they're going to be in there soaking up the AC, and we're out there sweating and wondering why in the world they won't go out and get a job. That's what's going to happen. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. That's not my opinion. That's the Word. And it's pretty strong. Teenage years are not for just frittering away. They're not for just blowing or having some of the world's type of fun. There's nothing wrong with having an enjoyable time. But I'm really concerned about the time from when they become self-propelled and able to do things until they're starting to leave home. We must, as fathers, engage them and get them enthused and interested in doing things. We must learn how to help them have a good time while learning something that has benefits for down the road. Help them to bond with other godly men, young and old. A statement was made to me here the last work day on the campgrounds. There was a lot of activity around here, and thankfully we had a good number of the next generation coming on that was bringing their little children with them. I've seen this happening. And somebody came up to me and he said, you know, hadn't changed much. It's the same people here. It's just their children. You know why? It's because their parents brought them here. Their parents, the friends that you've made, and doing those things that can be quite adventuresome. You know, sometimes boys think they've got to do something that's just on the edge to be able to be fulfilled. What about walking these wires up here and putting bulbs and globes in? I've seen that happen right here on a work day. Maybe standing up there on one of those wires and putting that bag back over that ceiling fan up there. That's pretty exciting. If you fall, you're going to bust something wide open. That's as exciting as riding something that's going faster than it ought to and jumping a ramp somewheres. And then you're with all these other fellas. There's enough peer pressure to make you do lots of stuff around here. Think of the value that you're learning. And the next time you want to go back because you want to see if you can outdo the other one and how many benches you can carry. You see? You're learning some values, you're learning some work ethics, and you're getting this fulfillment, and maybe you have a water fight after it's all over or something. You see what I'm talking about? It's not drudgery, but there's so many values and principles that can be taught here. The local congregation will work for a good avenue like that too. 2 Chronicles 15 and 7 says, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. There's nothing like getting a paycheck. There's been a few times we got in this rut, my wife comes by the job, picks up my paycheck, and goes and puts it in the bank. And there's been a few times I said, I want to take it. You know, I was the one working all this time. I want to take the check to the bank. I want to get some cash out of this thing. I want it to go in my pocket. There's a reward that comes from learning good work ethics. When you don't, when you put these things in practice, there's going to be a reward. There's nothing like standing back and saying, that's my son. I'm not talking about being elevated. I'm just having this satisfaction. There's a reward that comes along. Set the curve high enough that your sons will look on you as a hero. Fathers, I'm talking to you. Women, you're not allowed. Don't get out there, mamas, and climb the ladder and do the scary stuff if daddy won't do it. All right? If there's something here that's apprehensive and dad is just too fearful to do it, it'd be better to let it go undone. Dad, you're the one that needs to be the hero. You need to be the one that sets the curve. Because if you're not, you're going to get things tangled up. Make your expectations for your sons high enough that others will take note and be impressed. Son, I expect you to be able to finish that job. I'm trusting you with it. Don't let me down. Here's what you got to do to meet my expectations. Set them high enough where others come along and say, somebody done a good job on this one. All right? I'd like to shift gears just a little bit and go to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. It's referring to teaching the children the law that has been given. In the 7th verse in particular, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Your home and the setting in your home and the value of family worship is incredible. Don't ever let it be discounted. Sometimes people get the concept that family worship is something that has to be an elaborate affair. We're not very formal at my house. But by the grace of God, we have consistently had family worship. If it's nothing more than reading a scripture, and there's been some times I've said, boys, we are tired. It's 11 o'clock. Let's have prayer. But don't forfeit it. Get your family, men, fathers, I'm talking to you. Get your family together and have that family worship. There are times that there's some books we've read. You know that book by the title of Heart Talks? It can sponsor a lot of conversation. Family worship is a time that you can talk about values and what you expect out of them. And you can talk to them about so many things at family worship time. You might want to incorporate it with the evening meal. I'm not trying to put this in some kind of, it's got to be between 7:30 and 7:55. That's not what I'm talking about. And don't go home thinking it has to be 25 minutes. You can spend as much time as you want, but folks, it'd be better to do 15 minutes a day than an hour once a week. Yes. It's a lot better. Yes. In Titus 2, maybe we'll turn there and read a few verses. There's a principle here that I'd like for us to get a hold of in the Scripture, in Titus, the second chapter, beginning in the first verse. He says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, of charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things shewing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, and he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." It's imperative that all of these things we could elaborate on, but I'm not going to. I want us to recognize these are important things to incorporate in teaching and family worship. But the thing I want us to get out of this is there is specific instructions here for men. You have a responsibility to teach your sons. Women, mothers, you have a responsibility to teach your daughters. Not that you can't, there can't be some cross-training, if you want to talk about that like that. But if somebody was to say to me that, as a father, that I just don't feel like I'm a teacher. Well, you know, the Scripture says that you need to be. One of the qualifications of a bishop is that you're apt to teach. And men, you're the bishop of your home. You let me apply it that way. You're the bishop of your home. You ought to be apt to teach. You ought to, maybe you have to learn how to teach. Don't pass the buck off on your wife. Learn how to teach. Learn how to take charge of that. Obviously, we want to use Scripture. But sometimes we don't read Scripture in our family worship. Sometimes we read from a good, solid book. In 1 John, the second chapter, we'd like to read three verses there, and then I'll turn this back over to Brother Philip. I don't know how we're doing on time this afternoon, but in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 14, he says, "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." You've known God. And I trust, fathers, if you're endeavoring to live for the Lord, That's who he's talking to here. All right? I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what better place to give instruction than family worship? Explaining to our children, our sons in particular, this is of the world. There's dangers out there. There's bad habits. What would you do if you opened up the car door of one of your sons and there was tobacco there? What would you do? What if there was alcohol in there? He's living in your house. This is dangerous. What would you do if you discovered that they had pornographic material? What would you do if you realized they were going places on the internet that they shouldn't have went? You know, something was said, I want to address that in just a minute, but there was something said here earlier about watching the Andy Griffith Show. Up until a few years ago, I was about as ignorant of what that word meant as somebody from outer space. I didn't know. Wasn't raised up around it. It was an old rerun when I was a boy. When I got to go into the job I have now, and they'd always turn the TV onto that in the break room at lunchtime. And thankfully, the TV broke, and then they brought another one, and then they changed it to digital, so now it don't work. And I'm real happy for all those developments. But they always turn that on, and one of the rankest persons I worked with said to me one day, "You know, that's not such a good show." And here's what he told me. He says, "You know something about that show?" He says, "The town drunk is never helped." He said, "The deputy is a womanizer, and the main character has a broken home." You know, I want to say this about the material that's available out there that comes through the television, through the movie industry. There's an ulterior motive in that. It'll tear down your values. It'll tear down the things that are wholesome, the things that are pure, the things that are godly. It'll tear them down. And it can tear them down through something that appears to be innocent. Had another co-worker said that where he goes to church, they used it for a Sunday school lesson. The same show. I want to tell you, the fellow that rode his motorcycle and had long hair and told me that he thought it was a bad show, I tend to agree with him. I don't know if anybody else will say amen to that, but that's where I'm at. There's danger out there, folks. A rule of thumb: don't click on advertisements. One of the most dangerous places to go on the internet, in my perspective, is to be reading something that's the news on a news site, and those little squares off to the side that has some kind of caption that would catch your eye, don't click on them. There's garbage behind them. And you'll notice, if you read the fine print, it says it's an advertisement many, many times. And when you click on it, what it shows is going to be something different pop up. Pornography is a vice that will destroy your perspectives. What are you going to do if you find that? You remember what Joshua said? It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Men, you're going to have to be strong enough Don't let me catch you with that again. It's all right to say that. And now it's all right to say that, say that you better never let me catch you with this again. You know what's going to happen if somebody hasn't had consistent training along these lines and you say something like that to them? They're going to say, he's mad at me. And no, we're not mad at you. But we're not going to stand for that. I'm not going to have it in my house. You're going to have to be strong enough to set the boundaries for them. You're protecting them. Family worship is a time to teach them how to develop friendships and to stay away from bad friendships. You know, friends can introduce habits. And habits and other things can lead... I want my children to be friendly. And I feel good when my children have went to public school and when they come home and they're awarded the citizenship award. That makes me feel good. And when they've been selected student of the month at a public school, I take that as a compliment. And I also take it that they have been friendly with their peers. But there's a line that we've established, we're not going there. There's things that, you know, there's friendships that you can have, but here's as far as it can go. And this is as far as the activities that you can be involved in. We're going to have to stay on our toes.